Well, I desire your prayers.
I have a little thought that, by the help of the Lord, I'd like to present to us. It was remarkable how closely related it was to last night's message, which I really appreciated. And sometimes maybe we could think, well, that must have been my burden, but the Lord wouldn't have gave it to me if he gave it to Brother Larry, so it must be something else in it here for us this morning. I'd like to start out with the thought, the idea, kind of present it to our minds. How much do we really believe the Word of God? I find a very disturbing, changing, unstable world around me. And I am thankful that I have something that isn't movable and it isn't changeable. And the same security that our forefathers of faith found, we can find. The Word of God hasn't changed from the days of those that's been before us that lived it, put their trust and confidence in it, believed in it. They found it faithful to them in their time. No matter what the world around them did, how unstable it was, they found it to be a security to them. They found it to be true. The Bible has some fairly unbelievable instances in it. Okay. Do you believe, do you really believe that there was a man named Jonah that got swallowed by a fish? And he was in there about 3 days. And the fish spit him back out. And he had seaweeds wrapped around him. Now, do you believe that? I think there would be a great multitude of the world that would look at anyone that says that I literally believe that and say, you're dingy. You're dingy. There's no way that that could happen. Okay, I admit to you this morning that I'm dingy then. Because you're looking at someone that believes that story. I believe that report. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a fish. Okay? I believe that. I believe he lived through it. I believe he came out of there. I believe he went on to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And the reason I believe it is not because of the natural things I see around me, but it's because I believe the Word of God. And I believe that there is, as the author of the Word of God, is able to have performed everything that he put in his word. He was able to do it. Do you believe that the children of Israel went across the Red Sea? It parted. The Red Sea did. It parted. There was a wind came up. It parted the sea, and the children of Israel walked across the Red Sea on dry land. You believe it? Pretty remarkable. I've never seen water do that exactly. But it sounds like a far-fetched thing that water would do that. It sounds pretty far-fetched. The whole thing sounds pretty far-fetched. And you may, I've heard Christian people try to explain all these things naturally. I don't need to explain naturally. I don't need it to come up with, well, there was a severe drought and it dried up until the water was so low or there was in a certain... I don't need any explanations to the Word of God. Understand what I'm saying? I believe it because it's the Word of God. That's true. The author of this book is able to split a Red Sea. He's the one that told the water to stay in its bounds to start with. So he told it to get out of its bounds. That ain't surprising to me. I believe that. Do you believe that there was actually a flood that covered the world? There was actually a guy named Noah that was forewarned, that built an ark. Now, come on.
This guy actually did that?
God actually came and told Noah there was going to be a flood to build an ark, and this guy builds it 120 years, whatever it was, and he builds this boat out there where it never rained before, there was no water. He built this boat, and you believe that story?
Yeah.
It's pretty far-fetched, isn't it? The world's going to look at that and say, and many, many Christian people, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Many, many Christian people try to say that didn't literally happen, of course. It's trying to prove something spiritually. They're getting to the point that they don't believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. I believe that there was a time that there was a flood that covered the earth, and there was a man that was faithful, and he had built an ark, and he floated on that ark. His name was Noah, and he had three sons, and we are descendants of our great-grandpa Noah. I believe that. You know, there was a time that it says in the days of Joshua, I think it was, that the sun stopped and those things stopped in its orbits. Now, everybody's going to say, never happened. Never happened. You believe that happened? I don't know why all explanations, but I believe that happened. Now, the Bible says that God created everything that was created. He created by His spoken word. He created the whole universe. He created the stars. He created the seas. He created all the plants. He created the animals. He created everything. He created us. And He done it in 6 days. You believe that? I mean, honestly, do you believe it just that way? A lot of Christians, so-called people in the world, try to have all the explanations of why that didn't happen like that, and how we can mix that with the scientific evidence, or how we can do this or that. I don't need the scientific evidence or that. God said, and he was the only one there, and He said that He did it in 6 days. And I know that the world will look at me and say, that is total ignorance. Or maybe even willingly ignorant to say that I choose to believe God. But you know, I really do believe that God created, no matter what people say, I believe God created just like He said He did.
That's right.
I believe that. I want to tell you, the Bible to me is something that is solid, secure, believable. It's worked in my life. It's helped me. I can go to it. I can trust what it says. I can believe in what it says. If it says it, it worked, it happened. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the Word of God. Do you know that God created Adam? And out of Adam, He created Eve? You believe that? The world don't believe it, but I believe that that's how we got here. God created us and put us here, and this means something, folks, because if God did that, God had a plan and a reason for doing it. Do you know you are a reason? I mean, you're here for a reason. God done something for a reason. There's a purpose. There's a reason for it all. And God made that reason. I'm getting to the point. I look around at the unstable world. I look around at it and I see, to me, unexplainable things. People are behaving strangely. I mean, really they are. Very, very strange happenings. We are supposed to becoming more intelligent. I question that. I mean, on one hand, I see the technology. But look at some of the things people are doing. I just sit and scratch my head sometimes and say, they're really doing that? They're really thinking this way? They're really behaving this way? We're getting smarter, and yet, would you be surprised today that if you got on the news and heard that there was a shooting in Lexington where some guy goes crazy and shoots a half dozen people, would you be surprised? Would you be surprised if somebody goes into a store in Vanceburg and shoots somebody? Would you be surprised at the news that if some mass killer goes down here in Maysville, down at the Walmart, and goes in there and starts shooting people? Would anybody be surprised? No. We wouldn't be surprised at that. If you went and you saw it, if it was a new fad that said that you put a suction cup right on the top and right on your forehead, and you put a little flag on there and walked around with a flag on your head, would any of us be surprised that people would go ahead and do something like that? None of us would be surprised. Or how about that everybody walks around with antlers on their head? It's antlers is a new craze. Maybe hang some ornaments from the antlers. But anything goes. We look at that and we say, well, it wouldn't surprise me any. What is it that is driving humanity? You know what's not driving humanity? Let me tell you what's not driving humanity. God created Adam, and He created him in His own image. And that means that He created him pure and holy, with right thought. He didn't think wrong. He didn't have wrong thoughts. He didn't have evil or wicked intentions. And He made him, God made Adam to fellowship with God.
That's right.
He didn't make him to pack sin. He wasn't made to be a burden bearer of sin, of evil, of wickedness. He wasn't made to go through those kind of things. He wasn't made to see that. Do you know the little children of our nation, of our world, they aren't designed to see what they're seeing. They wasn't designed to be wholesome at the end of that. They can't do it. They can't take it. God created mankind to worship God. You know, there's something in every man, every woman, every child. There is something in every one of us that can only be fulfilled by God.
That's right.
There is a need. You can go and study history, study culture, study the human experience, and everywhere you go, to the farthest reaches of humanity, wherever they went after the time of Noah, wherever they dissected off at, you go there and you'll find an element. You know what that element is? Worship. Every culture, every man, they come to the need of wanting to worship something. They don't know what it is. They worship. They worship. They follow something. I want to tell you what's going on in our nation. The reason we're seeing hideous things is that there is a, if you want to say there's a compartment in every one of us, it's in me, it's in you, that is made for God. And you'll never ever be satisfied without it. Oh, you may find some temporary relief to that. You may numb it. You may get drunk. You may have drugs. You may temporarily get out of it by amusing yourself in entertainments or daydreams or books or whatever it is. But when reality comes back, you're going to find emptiness in your soul. And what people are doing and endeavoring in our world today is to fill that compartment that they can never fill. They try so hard to put something in there. And what I'm afraid of today is that there is a element within even saved people, religious people, people that even have a mind to God, that they forget what it is that satisfies them to start with. And if they're not careful, because living for God is a pressing way. It takes a press. And when that isn't being fulfilled, there's an automatic try to put something else in its place. If it's not God satisfying you, folks, you're going to try to satisfy yourself with something. I want to bring our minds back to what really satisfies today. The presence of God is the only thing that really satisfies our life, really satisfies our heart. And when I look around, and sometimes I do this, oh man, transgender. Now I know we've heard that quite a bit. It's the new news thing. It's so ridiculous. It goes to the furthest extents of ridiculous. What is it that people are trying to do? They're trying to find themselves. They're trying to do something. They're trying to be something. They're trying to... You know what they're really trying to do? They've got this little place in them that's meant for God. That is peaceful. It's loving. It's gentle. It's kind. It makes you sit down and not need all the fireworks of life and the roller coaster rides. And it does something for you inside that satisfies your heart, your life. And they're trying to fill that by finding out who they are, making who they are. They want attention some way. Everybody wants to be loved. Yes, you do. You want to be loved. And in order to be loved, you got to do something to do it. And with so warped, so wicked, people ain't loving me, so I got to get their attention. So I do something hideous. I'll wear a big coned hat. I'll put some kind of crazy stuff on my face. Or I'll tattoo my body. Or I'll pierce my body. Or I'll do something. Something. I need something to make myself feel right. Feel good. Other people to look. I'd rather you look at me wrong than not look at me at all. That's what people do. People are ignoring me. I don't even exist to people. Let me get their attention. I'll do something rotten. I'll do something mean. I'll do something. I'll drive my car fast. I'll write some graffiti on a wall. I'll tell somebody else. I'll do something. I need some attention. You know what that basically is? There's a little space inside of everybody that needs to be filled up. That's not being filled up. People are going to make a name for themselves. Life's going bad. I'm getting ready to get out of here. I want to be remembered. I'm going to go kill a dozen people before I go. That'll get their attention. The world that shunned me and this emptiness that I got in me, I'm going to feel it some way before I get out of here. And really, it's only a lack of filling this place that God made in each and every one of us that needs to be filled. And I'm going to tell you something today, and it's absolutely the truth. If you think Hollywood or Dollywood or musics of any kind or whatever, the entertainments, the movies, the filth, the stuff, if you think money, if you think alcohol, if you think cigarettes, if you think those things are going to fill this empty spot, you're going to be disappointed. It will not fill it. And every time you come back to reality, you're going to have an emptiness burning in here, and I need something, and that didn't fill it. It didn't take care of the emptiness that I feel inside me. I still feel that thing. People try it with athletic events. They try it to get out. Brother Larry preached one time, boating. Need to have the boat will do it. Hey, you want to feel that emptiness, you get a boat. You want a testimony about a boat not doing it? Right there's the man to tell you. Didn't happen for him. Drinking wouldn't do it with Brother Larry. Drinking won't fill the spot. Oh, you'll get drunk and you'll forget about the spot. And you know what happens to drunks? They sober up, and you know what they find out? Same old empty, hollow person that I was when I got drunk to start with. I need more to drink to get away from that empty place that I have in my life. And folks, sometimes Christians forget the idea. I see Christians that are chasing too much of the world, and when I look and I say, they don't have their spot filled.
That's right.
It's not filled, because if it was filled, they wouldn't need that. They wouldn't need it. They would go to the Jesus that fills them. I'm going to tell you, I find in my life that if when I get short on the Lord, I get stir crazy. Give me something. Give me something. And you know what the Lord will say? I got it for you. And I can try to find it in athletics. I can try to find it in entertainments. I can try to find it even in human relationships. We're going to get into that. Human relationships are good, but they won't fill this spot.
That's right.
And you may say, I'm going to find all my fulfillment in my children. And your children are going to disappoint you because they can't fill it.
That's right.
You may say, if I had the right one, if I had that right Mr. Perfect, it'll fill that. I'm going to tell you young people, Mr. Perfect doesn't exist. Hey, Miss Perfect doesn't either. They don't exist. You can forget it. They're going to be flawed. Each and every one of them is going to be flawed. And it isn't what you really need anyway. Take care of this, and the rest of it will be took care of.
Amen.
Lord, help us. I want to start with a familiar scripture. Brother Larry touched on this last night, along with the other scriptures I have. It's Ecclesiastes. He was in 3. Relating really to that, it's in 2. I want to look at the said in 2, the first chapter or the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. A set of laughter. It is mad in mirth. What doeth it? Okay. You know what? I'm a lighthearted guy. Give me a good joke. Give me a good clean joke. Give me a good irony. Give me a good clean riddle. I like funny things. I mean, I like to laugh at funny things. You can't laugh your way out of this one. There was a guy at home back when I grew up, and he was known to be a jokester, and everybody loved him. He was fun, funny guy, like joking, fun, carrying on. And he was such a jokester that when he said, you know, I've been thinking about killing myself, everybody laughed. That was funny. He wasn't joking. You know, that's rarely a joke. But the way he said it and all was it caught people funny. You know, he was a funny guy. Said that a few times and everybody laughed it off and he was funny. And there's no way somebody as lighthearted and as fun as this guy has that kind of problems. He was just too funny. He was just too laughing. He laughed all the time. He couldn't have that serious a problem. You know what that man did? He killed himself. Young man, he killed himself. Why? Did that not make life worth living? What would make a man, young man, take his life when he's in the prime of his life? What would make him want to take his life, own life? Having something that he couldn't feel? Having something in him that he couldn't take care of? You know what he needed? Very simple. He needed the Lord. He had a spot in him that was created of God to worship God and to have a relationship with God, and he didn't feel it. And he was miserable because that place wasn't filled. And you know what he tried to do? He tried to fill it with laughter. He tried to fill it with merriment. He tried to fill it with drink. He tried to fill it with companionship. And every one of them failed him over and over, and it didn't fill the longing that he had in his life because it wasn't made to fill it. Here was a man that had the resources that you and I don't have. Maybe you do. I don't have. I don't have the resources that the preacher had. Solomon is assumed to have wrote this, and Solomon had a great resource. He had gold and silver, and he had power and authority, and he had the blessings of God upon, and he had everything that he could have to fulfill what he's talking about. And I don't have it. But what I do have to try to do it, it don't work. But I'm going to go farther than that and say that if you don't want to take and say, you may say, I've never had the opportunity to experience all those kind of things. Well, then take it from the word of one that did. Because Solomon did. He says, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. Yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold of folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. He's talking about irrigating, of course. I got me servants and maidens, and servants born in my house also. I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the particular treasures of kings and of province. I got me men singers, women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eye desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Now, here's a man that said, I have the ability, the power, the resources. and I have the desire. I'm not going to withhold anything that I desire from my eyes. I will not withhold it to look and to see and to experience it. And I will not withhold from my heart any inkling of thing that I wanted, whether it was singers, women, men, no matter what it was, I will not withhold. I will experience the fullness of all that's around me to so that I might know what it is that profits the Son of Man. And He done it. If I only had a better house, I'd be happier. Solomon said he built all kinds of houses. I imagine he got the architects in there and said, yeah, that last one was a good one. But I want to go beyond that one, this one. I want to do something nobody else has done. Let's do it this way. Got resources, build houses, do this and this. And then he goes and says, I heard of a new group way down there somewhere that do this kind of spatial singing. Go get them. Bring them to me. I want to hear the music. I want to do that. And after he had done everything that he could do, you know what he found out? Found out there was a little old spot right in here. It was still empty. It still didn't fill it up. What does it take? What does it take to fill this little spot up? What does it take? Where do you go? What do you seek? What do you find? What do you do? There's a new drink out. There's a new fad out. Hey, they're coming out with Rubik's Cubes. Back in my day, it was Rubik's Cubes. Come out with Rubik's Cubes. Everybody doing Rubik's Cubes. Rubik's Cubes working them. That's what will satisfy. Let's get us a Rubik's Cube. Now it's these little iPads, iPhones, iThings, this, that. Do that. Run your mind. You can do it all day long. But you won't fill that empty spot in your heart. You won't fill that place that God made specifically for Him to fill. And it's the only thing that will satisfy. And I want to tell you, this man tried it. And when he come out to the end of it, he wanted to tell the whole world, folks, none of it will satisfy you. And I say to this crowd today, it's only God that will satisfy you in your life. And anybody that ever tried, I've looked in my life and said, I got an old truck. Boy, if I had a new one. You know what I've learned? I've learned that they are material of this earth that's to be used, and that's all that it is. That's all that it is. I don't ever put any more on it than the usefulness that I can get out of it. I look at it and say, because you know what I know? I can have an inkling and say, boy, would I be happy if I had that? And then I'd say, you would not. You would be the first day. Then when one of the children run the bicycle in the side of it, put a scrape down it about that long, you would throw that away and say, wow, everything is always the same. You ever think about this? How everything in life is decaying. Everything is fading away. Everything is changing. It is true. Nothing gets better. Everything gets worse. No matter what you think is that. You know, recently they had a Powerball lottery. $1.5 billion. Maybe I mentioned that here. Not million. $1.5 billion. I'm going to tell you, that stirs people up and they think, if I had that, how could you not be happy with $1.5 billion put in your lap? Wow, I could do anything I wanted to. You know what you'd find out? Wouldn't fill the spot that you need filled. Just wouldn't fill it up. I want to look at another passage of Scripture. Brother Larry used this Scripture too. I want to use it a slightly different way. It's in Matthew. I think this was the version he used. Matthew 19:16. It says, "And behold, one came, said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He says unto him, which Jesus said, Thou shalt not do murder, don't commit adultery or steal, shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now I want to ask you a question. Why would he lack anything? What was there a lack in this young man's life? Why? Is it bad to be young? Would it be bad to be young and rich too? I mean, being young and rich is what everybody wants. Young and rich. His man was rich. He had religion, no doubt. And yet, he asked the Lord, what do I lack? Why was he thinking he lacked something? Because he knew he lacked something. That's why. All that he had wasn't satisfying him. If he'd have been satisfied, he wouldn't have done it. He'd just come and worship the Lord and thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you. It's all yours. Thank you, Lord. He wasn't doing that. He was saying, I got this, I got this, I got this stuff. I've been religious. I go to church on Sundays. I support the pastor. I pray. I do these things. I try to be faithful. I do these things. What do I lack? I'm miserable. I'm miserable. I lack something. You know, the Lord knew exactly what he lacked. You know what the Lord was pointing him to? You can get it through all the terminology. I mean, you know what the Lord was getting him to? Himself. You're going to have to clear out that place. You've got a place in your heart, young man, that you filled up with riches, and it ain't never going to satisfy you. Amen. Do you know that this young man went away sorrowful because he had great riches, and if he never changed that, that's the way he always was, because I'm going to guarantee you, those riches never satisfied that young man's life. It never did. Solomon would have looked at him and said, let me give you a piece of advice, and I've had more than you ever had. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. You ain't done nothing but got you a big bag of trouble. And it isn't going to satisfy you at all. Go get the Lord in your heart and life and you'll be satisfied. And anything else is not going to be satisfied. I know folks that give all they've got to athletics. I'm going to tell you something about that I learned a long time ago about being a fan. There's only one team wins. And it almost never was mine. And the further I got excited about it, the higher I climbed up the mountain, the higher I got up, the higher I got up, the further I fell when they ended up losing. And they just about always did. And surely if they didn't one year, the next year they did, you won't stay up very long doing that. It isn't going to satisfy you for very long, and most people ain't satisfied at all at the end. There's always heartbreak. There's always loss in it. People give their heart, their life, they give their money, they give everything to this thing that satisfies not.
Right.
And I want to tell you something. I never had the Lord. Never had the Lord disappoint me in my life. Never.
Amen.
Have disappointed me, has always fulfilled my life. Years ago, I had some friends that they were a couple that lived over where I grew up from, and time to time I'd visit them, and they loved the Lord, I believe. And I got off of work one day, and I was having to go back to work, and so I didn't have time to go all the way home, and I was in such a need. I don't know hardly how to explain it other than I was just in one of those places that I just was empty. I had a need in my life, and I needed something, and I just couldn't come up with it. Nothing was satisfying me. I just couldn't find it. And I finally ended up, remember, it was a beautiful October evening, and I thought, oh boy, I know what I'll do. I got a few hours, and we'll go over, and I'm going to go squirrel hunting. And I thought, I'll go borrow you a shotgun off of my dad, and I'm going to go, and I know there's this good spot, and I'm going to go squirrel hunting. The sun was shining. It was so pretty. And I thought, I'm going to go. And so I did. I went and got shotgun and some shells, and I went up that hill and got up there on that. There's a place up there on the mountain where there's some hickory trees, and boy, I thought this is just right. And I got up there and sat down on a stump, and right here's where it's at. I sat there a little while, and you know what I found out? I forgot, and I packed all my troubles up the hill. You see, I should have left them in a bag down in the car. but when I went up the hill, I drug all that stuff that was on me. I drug it up the hill with me. got up there and sat there for a little while, and you know, beautiful sunny day, and the leaves were different colors, and it should have been an absolutely spectacular day, and I was miserable. I was still miserable. Why isn't this working? Well, Larry, why isn't this working? It used to work when I was young. I got such a thrill out of it. Why isn't it working? Why can't I find anything to work? You know what the Lord spoke to me? Come on, get down out of there. I mean, this is what the way the Lord dealt with me. Get down out of there. I got something for you to do. I want you to go see it. That's the way the Lord brought it to me. I want you to go visit them. Okay, Lord. All right. I still wasn't feeling any better. I felt like the Lord said, get down out. That's not what, and I went up, come back down, took the gun back, went down to their house. Had a little trailer. I knocked on the door, and when I knocked on the door, the man, he come to the door, had tears going down his eyes. His wife was over on her knees at the couch, crying. He was been crying, standing at the door. And when I opened the door, he just said, thank the Lord. Marty said, we've been praying. God had sent us somebody to help us. Went in and we prayed and we had a good time. And you know what? I come away from there. God blessed us. I'm going to tell you, God blessed us. And I come away from there filled up. I come away filled up. The day on the hill couldn't do it. Nature is wonderful, folks. We can get out there and thank God, and it's beautiful and it's great. I love nature. But I'm going to tell you, even nature won't feel. He never made nature to feel the spot that needs filled. It wasn't nature that would fill it. It isn't the things of this world that will fill it. It's God. It's meant for God. It's God. And you know, when you fill that spot, which is our priority, it's just like last night was saying, when you fill that spot, all these things are optional. There's nothing wrong with going hunting, fishing, enjoying throwing the ball, to enjoy life one another. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but it isn't worth anything if you don't fill that spot first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. But if you don't seek that first, I know what's wrong with the world. I know what's driving all these agendas. I know what's doing it. It's men that's got emptiness in their souls. That's what's driving it. People that are trying to fill their souls with something. They think that if we get it in a certain order, politically, society, all these things, economically, social justice, all these things, if we get it right, we'll have a euphoria. I'm going to tell you something about man-made euphoria. It's called shipwreck. It will never, ever work. Euphoria only comes from God. Real peace only comes from God. It doesn't come. And I want to tell you something about the poor. Jesus said, you always have them. You're always going to have them. It's just plain and simple. You can give. I heard this and I believe it to be true. This is not Bible. So this is where you cut out and say that was Brother Marty. But that's okay. I heard one time that if you took all the wealth of the United States, all of it, put it together, then divided it out to each human being, within 10 years, the one that has it now would have it again. And do you know what? I believe that. Because the reason most people have money is with their industry and the way they do that. And the other people that just throw it away would just still throw it away. I know people that can't manage, don't manage, don't do anything. And they'd end up being poor in 10 years and throw it away anyway. And the ones that's industrious and go and build them a restaurant and do this and that, they get everybody's money just like they've done before. So why start with all that? There's something else that fulfills it. I ain't out to drive human agendas. I want the gospel to go to each and everybody so that they can have a chance to fill up this spot inside them. That whether they're rich or whether they're poor, or whether they're sick or whether they're in health, whether they're athletic or not athletic, it doesn't matter. They can have that spot filled and be successful in this life. Because success is only measured, in my mind, by whether you know the Lord or not. If you know the Lord today, you are a success. And if you don't know the Lord and you win that $1.5 billion, you aren't a success. This young man was looking for something and he asked the Lord, what do I lack? Jesus said unto him, if that would be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Okay? The man made a choice. But I'm going to tell you what. He was emptier when he left than when he came. And what he was trying to fill that longing with was his money, his reputation, his authority, who he was as a rich man. He tried to say, that's going to take care of the need of my soul. And it never took care of the need of his soul. Another scripture in John, 4th chapter. Let's pick this one up. 6th verse. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and as it was about the 6th hour, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saying to her, give me to drink. For the disciples was going away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up to everlasting life. Now what the Lord is talking about in this, and is well understood, this language was well understood in the day that he spoke it, and in the time and area that he spoke it. It hardly means the same in a climate like Kentucky's, that it's rained ceaselessly since we were here. There's water everywhere. This was a dry and arid place, and water was precious. And to have a well was precious, but more than having a well, you had to sit by the well and drink the water. And if you went anywhere, you had to pack it. And at 110 degrees, water sloshing around in an old goat skin isn't really appetizing. You'd have to realize that it really isn't very appetizing. You imagine putting water in an old goat skin that you made a water bag out of, and filling that thing up with that water, and then taking off, and about 2-3 days later, you're still on the, and you're still drinking out of that. It's about 110 degrees, and that water's probably got up to 80, 90 degrees in that sack, and you think, boy, I can't wait to get me a nice, refreshing drink of water. And you try that. Well, it was life preserving. But the idea wasn't that. When they talked in the Bible about living water, they was talking about the artesian springs, the free-flowing, the cold and cool, coming out of the ground about 58 degrees, 56, 58 degrees, coming out, what that would be like, coming out of that deep, deep well, that you draw that up out of there and you long. You remember when David said to his mighty men, I long for, that's what he was talking about. He's out there drinking out of canteens and warm water, and he said, woo, what's hot today? Oh, how would I like that fresh? Oh, you know what it'd feel like? When you try to satisfy the God-given place in you with the things of this world, it's like drinking old brackish hot water. It just doesn't satisfy. And Jesus said to her, if you knew who it was and the gift of God, and you knew who it was you were speaking to, you would ask of me, and I give you something that's going to satisfy your deepest longing. He wasn't talking about that natural thirst. He was talking about a woman that he read from the time he saw her, or maybe I should say from the time she was born. But definitely throughout this woman's life, there was a God that knew all about her and knew that she had endeavored in life to fulfill a spot in her. God knows us. God knows you. He knows what you're trying to do, and He knows why you do it. This woman had tried, no doubt. Maybe there was a particular honesty in this woman. Hey, not everybody gets the opportunity to meet the Lord in natural life like she did. And the Lord chose a time, and I must go by Samaria. Why? Because of a woman. Probably with an honest heart, but wayward, and don't know how to fulfill something that was in her, and she tried to do it, but she never got it done, and along comes the Lord and says, I can feel it. Got something for you? It would be within you, a well springing up. It'll be something you can always draw from. It'll be rich to you. It won't be like anything you ever tried in your life. Try it. Many people try many things. Many people think if I get a new gadget, if I get a new car, if I get a new house, and some people run themselves endlessly trying to find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that will fulfill the very longing of their heart and everything they try. Some are successful. Some aren't successful. Some that are successful at the end of their success said it didn't work even though I was successful. It did not fulfill what I need to fulfill. Folks, it never will. Jesus, the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had five husbands, and him whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest thou truly. If I just had the right wife, I'd have it made. If I just had the right husband, I'd be satisfied. That guy will be the satisfaction of my life. I'm going to tell you something. Don't be deceived. Mr. Perfect doesn't exist. People cannot feel. Nobody can. People try to assume and they look and they say, if I had that beautiful woman for a wife, or if I had that rich husband, or if I had this, or I had that, or I had it along and this and that, I'm going to tell you, it will not fulfill your life. It won't do it. It wasn't made to. And it is disappointment. This woman had five husbands. I wouldn't know anybody. I wouldn't know why any woman would want that. How that worked. I don't know. They don't say why she had them, but come on. And the one you got now is not your. What are you doing? I'm trying to fulfill something. I need help. I'm trying to fulfill something. Relationships with is the only way I know how to do it. So I keep on. And do you know that there is women that will come out of one abusive situation. I'm saying in the world will come out of one abusive situation and go to another, right. Over and over. And you know there's psychology involved in it. But you know what? I can clarify the psychology in it in a real short way. She's got an empty place in her heart that she's not filling, and she's trying to fill it with something. And there, she's trying to do it, any attention's better than no attention, and so she longs to get into a place to where somebody will at least pay her some attention. And it is nothing more than a longing to be loved and accepted and have a place fulfilled in your life, and it never is filled until Jesus Christ fills that spot that He made from creation to live in. It wasn't meant to haul sin. It wasn't meant to haul the lust and degradation of this world. It wasn't meant to keep the corruption that's out there in the world in. It was meant to house the Lord Jesus in. And then, oh, what satisfaction comes. Then there's peace and satisfaction. I have seen many, many people throw all of their eggs into one basket, in the fact that my children is my satisfaction. You know, I've seen some pretty miserable mothers relying on their children to be the living water to them. Being the satisfaction, putting it all into there, because before long, and they'll just pump them children up and do this. And many even try to live their lives through their children. And do you know what? I've seen over and over and over the heartache that comes. The disappointment that comes. All of a sudden they've done all this, and all of a sudden that daughter that they had such hope for, she runs off with some no good. I've seen it happen. And then there lays devastation in there and don't know how to deal with things. Do you know, there is something that will never disappoint us in this life. There is something that will never disappoint us. And that is the Lord Jesus. Amen. When the hottest trials come, this will hold. There is an old song in the Primitive Quartet sung, as I remember years ago, and a phrase in the song said, "Palaces would prisons prove." Now, it stuck with me for years. Palaces would prisons prove if the Lord was there. If the Lord comes into a prison cell that you're in, it makes a palace out of it. You would rather be in a prison cell with the Lord Jesus than be in a palace without Him. The Lord is illuminating. The Lord is magnificent. The Lord changes things and alters things. He makes it different. And the circumstances may not change. The storm may not cease. The thing may not change. But when the presence of the Lord comes, it's dynamically different. We can do anything when the presence of the Lord's there. When I was first saved, I've been saved about a year, I'd heard the saints talk about trusting the Lord for their bodies. Well, I'd never been sick. So there was no trial there. You know, the first time I got sick, I was really sick. After I got saved, I wanted to trust in the Lord. My boy, I wanted to trust the Lord, so I gave myself to trust in the Lord. Lord, I'm going to trust You. And you know, the Lord came down in my soul in such a way that to this day, I don't hardly know how to explain how you could be sick and feel so good. I felt so good. I had a terrible, I couldn't hardly swallow. My fever was running rampant. I ached all over, and I felt absolutely wonderful. Probably I've never felt better in my life. And I'd go back there any day I could if the Lord had come and blessed me like that. And it's hard to explain, but I want to tell you this. It made me to know what the old martyrs did when they was up there and the flames was licking up around them. And the Lord Jesus filled them to the place that they was burning up, and yet they were smiling. I know what He's talking about, because I felt enough of the Lord to know that I had this emptiness place in me flooded by the Lord. And there was nothing like it. He overwhelmed me, and palaces would prisons prove, and palaces would sicknesses prove, and God makes a place that is rich and real in the middle of any persecution. When the Lord descends upon us, it is a blessing. I want to encourage us today, because I see, as I travel around the country and I look and I see the churches goings on and those kind of things, I get the idea sometimes that we're forgetting something. We're forgetting what our goal is. Just like we heard last night, we're forgetting what our purpose is. We're forgetting what this is really all about. We're forgetting that if we'll fill this spot first in our lives and make sure that the Lord is there, then everything else is optional to us that's right to do. It's not wrong to own things, to have things, to be blessed of the Lord. It isn't wrong to eat good food. It isn't wrong to go places that's not wrong to go. You know what I'm saying? There's wrong. But I mean, there's a life and a world to live that the Lord puts us in. There's relationships, the new ones to have. There's places, but not if you don't fulfill your heart first. You put the Lord in there first. And then you'll be somebody that somebody can meet. Because if you're not, you're handicapped, and you're going to be a liability to them. But if you have the Lord filling that place in your life, you'll be a blessing to who you meet. You'll be a blessing. I think I have one more scripture I want to look at. In Luke, I think it's on 16th of Luke. Oh, I just want to just touch on this scripture. It's the scripture used the other night. There was a certain rich man in the 19th verse, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, which lay at his gate full of sores. What a contrast. But you know, this old rich man, did purple do it? If you got enough purple stuff, you'll be satisfied. Purple don't satisfy. Fine linen don't satisfy. Faring sumptuously doesn't satisfy. Who doesn't want things to be comfortable? Who doesn't want to be warm? Who doesn't want to be fed? Everybody wants those comforts of life. Everybody seeks and strives for the things of life. But the Lord, the Word of God, this is why I started this way. If you can believe so far that you can believe that Noah existed and rode the waves of the flood, the children of Israel went across a dry Red Sea, the sun stopped and went backwards in the day of Joshua, and there was no day like it since then, and that God created the earth in 6 days, and that Noah was actually swallowed, or Jonah was swallowed by a fish, then you surely can believe that you should seek the kingdom of heaven first. If you can't obey that one, seek the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. First, seek that. That's simple. Make sure that I have that part taken care of first. And then, all of these things that you and I may think about, wonder about how much did I have, all this stuff. It says the Lord knows you have need of those things. He'll provide those things. It's saying to us your responsibility isn't these things. Do you realize that our responsibility, our main responsibility, is our own souls? God gave us something that He wanted us to be faithful to. He wants us to be able to deliver our souls back to Him. I say with Him, of course. But He wants us to be able to be faithful that He might say to our souls, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. You have taken what I give you and used what I give, let you have to do it with, and you was faithful to this precious thing that I gave you of an eternal soul." Now, here's Lazarus. Is it possible that a man so well off could be so lost, and a man so destitute of things of this life could actually be satisfied? Is it possible, Brother Larry, for a man like this that has sores and licked by dogs to be satisfied in his soul? Only because palaces with prisons prove. Only because the Lord Jesus is a dynamic power in your life that will allow you to live in that situation with glory on you. The only way it can happen, nobody else would choose it. But under this power that the Lord has to fulfill that place in a man's life, I believe that Lazarus would have been a contented soul. Yes. That would have said, "Lord, you chose this for me. Help me to be faithful." And the Lord made, oh, I wonder if it's possible. Maybe the one man bites into the food that was prepared and bites into it and looks and says, "That ain't fit to eat," and slings it against the wall. "Give me something better than that. I'm worthy of it." And here's a poor beggar man that gets a crumb and says, "Thank you, God." And eats it with satisfaction because he's contented in his soul. You want to put it in a nutshell of why our world's acting funny? I'm going to tell you, from now on, when they start acting funny and they come up with all this stuff, you just say, "Lord, have mercy on them and fill that hollow place in them." They're only looking to fill that place up. It's what everybody's trying to do, is trying to fill that up. That's why our young people get to a certain age and they want to drink and party and run around and they want to have this and do that and do that, and peer pressure gets them and all those things. You know, most of that is because there's something that needs to be fulfilled in there. You get that thing fulfilled. That is what's going to bless our lives. Lord, help us not to get distracted by the enemy that's trying to say, you ain't going to be happy unless you keep up with the Joneses. Forget the Joneses.
Follow Jesus.
Follow Jesus. Yeah, that Jesus didn't tell that rich young man to keep up with the Joneses. He said, go get rid of that and follow me. Follow me. That'll fulfill your life. You'll see and hear, feel things that you've never done. And you'll be satisfied. You come after me with your whole heart. But if we don't, folks, even we claim ourselves to be saints, we're going to be miserable people if we chase after this. You know, going to camp meetings is a result. It isn't the thing. You don't always get that. You know, there was one time that we didn't get the option to go to different meetings. Once Linda was pregnant and about to have a child, I think it was Abby, and about to have a child, we didn't get to go to Monarch. I still had it full, folks. I didn't say, I don't get to go to Monarch. I'm going to be an empty, miserable, wretched person that don't ever be satisfied with anything until I get to go. No! Jesus is what feels that. And when you don't get to do what you have your expectation for, you're still full. He don't let you down in anything.
Amen.
And you know, I actually had a very blessed Monarch season. And wasn't that Monarch? I'm going to tell you, I had a very blessed of the Lord. The Lord showed Himself to us over and over while we was there and made Himself real to us in a way that we wouldn't have otherwise. It was because that's the Lord. And the Lord will satisfy those that seek after Him. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.